Hello friends, we are on chapter 12, and this chapter 12 is very important from the point of export credit. India is encouraging exporters to do a lot of exports because that gives us a lot of foreign exchange for the country, and government also encourages banks to give this export credit to exporters, and in turn, Reserve Bank of India has also made certain provisions for granting of export credit to the exporters. When we talk about export credit, it comes into two parts. One is the pre-shipment export credit, and the second is the post-shipment export credit. In this chapter, we'll understand the rupee export credit. We'll also understand what a pre-shipment export credit is and a post-shipment export credit is. And we'll also understand a deemed export, a rupee export credit. So these aspects we'll be looking into in this particular chapter. Let us first understand what is a rupee export credit. A rupee export credit scheme was first introduced by Reserve Bank of India in 1967. Reserve Bank of India first introduced a scheme of export financing intended to make short-term working capital finance available to exporter at internationally comparable interest rates. And when we talk about internationally comparable rates, exporter need not have to bear a heavy brunt for taking export finance from India. So this was the basic idea behind RBI making this specific provision in 1967. Now let us understand what exactly this pre-shipment export credit is. Pre-shipment is also called as a packing credit. Pre-shipment or a packing credit means any loan or advance granted or any other credit provided by a bank to an exporter for financing the purchase, processing, manufacturing or packaging of goods. This is prior to the shipment. So one has to note this important word, prior to the shipment. Working capital expenses towards rendering of services on the basis of letter of credit open in its favor by an overseas buyer, or even a confirmed and irrevocable order for the export of goods or services from India, or any other evidence of an order for export from India having been placed on the exporter. So this is a very exhaustive meaning of what a pre-shipment rupee export credit includes. What can be the period of advance? It will purely depend upon the circumstances of individual cases, such as the time required for procuring, manufacturing or processing wherever necessary, and shipping the relative goods or rendering of the services. After this, we have to understand the disbursement. How does the disbursement of a packing credit happens? The disbursement can happen in one lump sum or in stages as per the requirement of executing the orders or the letter of credit. After having understood the disbursement, we should also know how such packing credit can be liquidated. The liquidation happens out of the proceeds of the bills drawn for the export commodity on its purchase, a discount, etc., thereby converting the pre-shipment credit into the post-shipment credit. Out of the balances, it can happen out of the even balances of exchange earners, foreign currency account that popularly known as the EFC account. It can also happen from the rupee resources of the exporter to the extent export have actually taken place. So these are the various options in which the liquidation of packing credit can happen. Now there are certain instances where the packing credit can exceed the export value. These three particular instances are where the byproduct can be exported, where the partial domestic sale is involved, and the export of de-oiled or the deflated cakes. So let us look at this one by one. The first one, where the byproduct can be exported. What happens in this scenario? Where the exporter is unable to tender export bills of equivalent value for liquidating the packing credit due to the shortfall on account of the wastage involved in the processing of agro products like the raw cashew nuts, etc., then in such cases, banks may allow exporter to extinguish the excess packing credit by export bills drawn in respect of byproducts like the cashew, shell oil, etc. So this is a particular provision that needs to be complied by banks in case where a prior product can be exported. The next instance is where the partial domestic sale is involved. Export of agro-based products like the tobacco, pepper, cardamom, cashew nuts, etc. The exporter has necessarily to purchase a somewhat larger quantity of raw agri produce and grade it into exportable and non-exportable varieties. So this is a requirement of that particular business activity. And here the non-exportable balance is sold domestically so that that would fetch some value out of it. And in that instance, banks are required to charge commercial rate of interest applicable to the domestic advance. So commercial rate simply means in case of export finance, there is a concessional rate that is offered by banks on case-to-case basis. The third instance is about export of de-oiled or deflated cakes. Export of HVS groundnut and de-oiled or deflated cakes to the extent of the value of raw materials required, even though the value thereof exceeds the value of the export order. The advance in excess of the export order is required to be adjusted either in cash or by sale of residual byproducts or within a period not exceeding 30 days from the date of an advance to be eligible for the concessional rate of interest. So this third instance also needs to be understood and the required provision needs to be complied with. Now friends, we will understand one more aspect of the pre-shipment finance. Pre-shipment credit to exporter is normally provided through lodgement of LCs or firm export orders. Having regard to the difficulties faced by the exporter, banks have been authorized to extend the pre-shipment credit as a running account facility in respect of any commodity without insisting on prior lodging of the letter of credit or the firm export orders, depending upon bank's own judgment. So this is a actual provision or a facility provided to the exporters of getting this pre-shipment finance in the form of a running account facility. Export credit against proceeds of checks, drafts, etc. Banks may grant export credit to exporters of good track record till the realization of proceeds of the checks, drafts, etc. received from abroad after satisfying themselves that it is against an export order and is an approved method of realization of export proceeds as per the extant rules. So these two conditions are required to be compliant. That is, it should satisfy itself that it is against an export order and it's an approved method of realization of export proceeds as per the extant rules. And now let us see some more aspects of pre-shipment, rupee shipment credit to specific sectors and segments. Banks may grant export credit to manufacturers, suppliers who do not have export orders or letter of credits in their own names, and the goods are exported through the State Trading Corporation or the Minerals and Metal Trading Corporation or other export out agencies, etc. So this can be done. Rupee export credit to sub-suppliers. Here the sharing comes into the picture. Packing credit can be shared between an export order holder, EOH, and the sub-supplier of the raw materials, companies, etc. of the exported goods. But this is subject to certain conditions that are imposed in this scenario. Rupee pre-shipment credit to construction contractors. This is also a facility. This is specifically provided to meet the initial working capital requirements for execution of contracts abroad, and this may be made on the basis of a firm contract secured from abroad. However, undertaking needs to be obtained from them that the finance is required by them for incurring the preliminary expenses in connection with the execution of the contract. Example, for transporting the necessary technical staff and purchase of consumable articles for the purpose of executing the contract abroad. The advances should be adjusted within 365 days of the date of the advance by negotiation of the bills relating to the contract. So this is a very important provision relating to adjustment within 365 days of the date of the advance by negotiation of bills relating to the contract. Next, we look at the export of services. Pre-shipment and post-shipment finance may be provided to exporters of all the 161 tradable services that are covered under the General Agreement on Trade in Services, popularly known as the GATS, where payment of such services is received in free foreign exchange. So this is a very good actual facility for export of services, and banks may take into account the track record of the exporters or the overseas counterparties while sanctioning the export credit. Here, banks may ensure that the proposal is a genuine case of export of services. Exporter is registered with the Electronic and Software EPC or Services EPC or with Federation of Indian Exporters Organization as applicable. There is an export contract for the export of service. There is a valid working capital gap. There is no double financing or excess financing. The export credit granted does not exceed the foreign exchange earned less the margins, and inward remittance is received through the foreign exchange. Let us look into the pre-shipment credit to the floriculture, grapes and other agro-based products. So what does floriculture means? Pre-shipment credit is allowed to be extended by banks for purchase of cut flowers. When you talk about floriculture, it is specifically related with flowers, and all post-harvest expenses incurred for making the shipments of such cut flowers. With a view to promoting export of floriculture, grapes and other agro-based products, banks are allowed to extend concessional credit for working capital purposes in respect of the export-related activities. We also have export credit to the processors, the exporters, agri-product zones, export zones. Export processing units may be provided a packing credit for the purpose of procuring and supplying inputs to the farmers so that the quality inputs are available to them, which in turn will ensure that only good quality crops are raised. Banks may treat the inputs supplied to the farmers by exporters as raw material for export, and banks have to ensure that exporters have made the required arrangements with the farmers and overseas buyers in respect of the crops to be purchased and the products to be exported respectively. So this is a very important aspect which bank has to look into. They have to ensure that exporters have made the required arrangements with the farmers and the overseas buyers as well in respect of the crops to be purchased and the products to be exported respectively, so that the export deal will actually work in and the payments would come in time. Now let us look at the post-shipment rupee export credit. Up till now we are looking into the pre-shipment to different categories of exports. Now let us first understand what exactly a post-shipment export credit means. A post-shipment export credit means any loan or advance that is granted or any other credit provided by a bank to an exporter of goods or services from India. Now you need to note this very carefully. The post-shipment is specifically a credit from the date of extending the credit after shipment of goods or rendering of services to the date of realization of export proceeds. So this very important aspect of export, a post-shipment export credit has to be looked. It is a post-shipment credit means any loan or advance that is granted from the date of extending credit after shipment of goods or rendering of services to the date of realization of export proceeds. And this also includes any loan or advance granted to an exporter in consideration to or on the security of any duty drawback followed by the government from time to time. So this important aspect of post-shipment has to be understood very carefully, as it includes any loan or advance granted to an exporter in consideration of or on the security of any duty drawback allowed by the government from time to time. So these are a new way of creating export finance, especially after the shipment of goods. There are different types of post-shipment credits, like the export bills which can be purchased, discounted or negotiated. There can be advances against bills for collection. There can be advances against duty drawbacks, receivables from the government. So these are the three prominent ways in which the post-shipment credits can be made available to the exporters. Next is the liquidation of post-shipment credits. When we talk about liquidation of post-shipment credits, it has to be liquidated by the proceeds of the export bills received from abroad in respect of the goods exported and services provided. It can also be repaid or prepaid out of the balance in the exchange earners, foreign currency accounts or the EFC account, and also from proceeds of any other unfinanced collections bills. So These are the three important prominent ways for liquidation of the post-shipment credit. Next, we look at the rupee post-shipment export credit. In case of demand bills and in case of goods bills, what happens? In case of demand bills, the period of advance shall be the normal transit period, that is NTPS, specified by the FDI. And in case of the goods bill, the credit can be granted for a maximum duration of 365 days from the date of shipment, including the normal transit period and the grace period, if any. Now let us look at the advances against the undrawn balances on export bills. Banks may consider granting advances against undrawn balances at the concessional rates of interest based on the commercial judgment and the track record of the buyer. So these are the specific requirements for advances against the undrawn balances on the export bills. Banks may consider granting advances against undrawn balances at concessional rate of interest based on the commercial judgment and the track record of the buyer. Next, we look at advances against the retention money. No advance may be granted against retention money related to the service portion of the contract. Exporters may be advised to arrange as far as possible the provisions of suitable guarantees instead of retention money. So one has to note this very carefully. That is, exporters may be advised to arrange as far as possible provision of suitable guarantees instead of retention money. So a provision of guarantees are more important than retention money. The payment of retention money may be secured by a letter of credit or a bank guarantee wherever possible. Next, we look at export on the consignment basis. Export on consignment basis should be at par with exports on outright sale basis on cash terms. And here, banks should ensure that export on consignment basis is not misused in the matter of repatriation of the export proceeds. Export of precious and semi-precious stones. Now this is a very, very important sector of exports, and there are specific provisions related to finance. Precious and semi-precious stones are exported mostly on consignment basis, and the exporters are not in a position to liquidate the pre-shipment credit until the remittances received from abroad within the time period of 365 days from the date of advance. And this is where there is a specific provision what has to be done in such scenarios. Banks can therefore adjust the packing credit advances in the case of consignment exports as soon as the export takes place. How they can do this? They can do this by transfer of outstanding balance to a special post-shipment account, which in turn should be adjusted as soon as the relative proceeds are received from abroad, but not later than 365 days from the date of export, or such extended period as may be permitted by the Foreign Exchange Department of the Reserve Bank of India. So this is a very important provision when we talk about export of precious and semi-precious stones. Next important export type is export of goods for exhibition and sale. What are the provisions in this regard? Banks may provide finance to exporters against goods sent for exhibition and sale abroad in the normal course in the first instance, and after the sale is completed, allow the benefit of the prescribed rate of interest on such advance, both at the pre-shipment stage as well as at the post-shipment stage. So this finance type of finance can be provided specifically at the pre-shipment stage as well as post-shipment stage. Next, we look at the post-shipment credit on deferred payment terms. When we talk about deferred payment terms, these are not one-time payment. These are payment to be done at different periods. Banks may grant post-shipment credit on deferred payment terms for a period not exceeding 1 year. And in respect of export of capital and producer goods, this is specifically for this purpose, and these are specified by Reserve Bank of India Foreign Exchange Department from time to time, which needs to be noted very carefully by the banks. Next important post-shipment advance against duty drawback entitlements. When we talk about duty drawback entitlements, banks may grant post-shipment advances to exporters against their duty drawback entitlements and covered by ECGC guarantee as provisionally certified by the customs authority pending final sanction and payment. This advance is granted against a duty drawback. Entitlement would be eligible for a concessional rate of interest as well as refinance from Reserve Bank of India, and this would be for a maximum period of 90 days from the date of advance. Finally, we look at the ECGC whole turnover post-shipment guarantee scheme. The whole turnover post-shipment guarantee scheme of the Export Credit Guarantee Corporation of India Limited provides protection to the banks against non-payment of post-shipment credit by the exporters. So this is like a cover provided by ECGC to the banks, as a post-shipment guarantee is mainly intended to benefit the banks. The cost of the premium in respect of the whole turnover post-shipment guarantee should be taken out by the banks and should be absorbed by the banks and may not be passed to the exporter. The exporter should not bear the cost of such premium, and it is advised that the bank should take that over. Deemed exports. What are deemed exports? The rupee export credit at prescribed rates are also provided for the deemed exports. Banks are permitted to extend the rupee pre-shipment and post-shipment rupee export credit at prescribed rates of interest to the parties against orders for supplies in respect of the projects aided or financed by bilateral or multilateral agencies, funds including the World Bank, the IBRD, the IDA, as notified from time to time by the Department of Economic Affairs, Ministry of Finance, and this is under the chapter deemed exports in foreign trade policies, which are eligible for grant of normal export benefits by the Government of India. Thank you.